So if everybody who was at creation is here, come on up. Everybody. Dawn. Everybody. And the Groovers. Anybody, Christy, come over here. Jacob, come over here. Larissa, come over here. Okay, we wanted to tell you about something that happened at creation this year. We were standing in the pit, which is the mosh pit, getting ready for Switchfoot, and one of the speakers for that day came out. His name is Eric Samuel Tim, and Eric often paints a picture of a red umbrella, which is to represent the blood of Christ covering us. And Eric says, "It rains on everyone. It may be storming, but there is a covering. Life may be challenging, but there is a covering. It may seem impossible, hopeless, doubtful, fear-ridden, and pain-laden, but there is a covering. There are other umbrellas, but only one is red with the blood of Jesus."
That's me. At creation, he painted a blue umbrella on the stage. The red umbrella is what covers us, but we can be one of the other umbrellas Eric spoke about. Not a red umbrella, but maybe a blue one. After painting the blue umbrella, he said, "We can't control the rain of injustice, but we can control where it does not fall. Be a covering, be an umbrella." See you.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, we really rehearsed this. But so our first time to creation, which was, I don't know how many years ago, we sponsored a compassion child. His name was Yol, and he isn't in the program anymore. And so we were planning to sponsor another one this year. We were back at the K, which is an individual site instead of the group sites, and it seemed appropriate that first year we were at K, we sponsored a child. This year we're at K, and we're going to sponsor another child.
So the child that we sponsored, well, first off, while we were in the pit, Mark was asking us who were in the pit if we wanted to sponsor a child, and we're like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool, yeah. And then, what's his name, Eric? Yeah, Eric had a card, and he's like, "Yo, who wants to sponsor this child? His name's Edmund, seems pretty cool." And then Mark put up his hand, and we got that child, and then he also gave us his umbrella. It's pretty cool. It has some paint on it because he was painting. But yeah.
Along with Edmund's packet, they also handed us an extra one for a girl named Kenzie. We didn't know what to do with her at first, but then we all felt like we should hold on to her and bring her back to church and see if somebody would want to be Kenzie's umbrella, to be a covering to keep injustice from falling upon her.
So we have Kenzie's card here. If anybody would like to sponsor her, please see me after the service, and we'll give you the packet. And if anybody else wants to sponsor a child, just talk to me, and I'll make sure you get one. We'll find one for you. Thank you.
So if you want a compassion child, and Kenzie, the Lord laid that on your heart, see Mark after the worship service. Our scripture reading is from Romans chapter 16. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Aponatus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who had been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampelitus, who I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Typhina and Typhosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus and Phlegion, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermes and the brothers with them. Greet Philogius, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. There ends the reading of God's holy word.
As we travel this side, far and part of the family of God.
Now you'll know why I picked that hymn for today, because of this old movie that I just love, and every time it's on, and it's on pretty frequently, I just have to watch it. I can just like turn in at any point in the movie because I know so well what happened before and what happened after. But it's called Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and so I just love that movie. At one point in the movie, when young Ferris has played hooky, Ben Stein, who plays the homeroom teacher, has begun calling the roll. He starts with roll call, and he gets to Ferris Bueller's name, and he says, Bueller, 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 and he just keeps saying it until a young blonde cheerleader with a very tiny high voice says that she has heard that Ferris is very ill and that he may even need a kidney transplant. Now, how Ben Stein takes attendance in his signature monotone is similar to the way I feel about reading this morning's scripture lesson. I am sure that you were not sitting on the edge of your seat as I read that, waiting to see what name I was going to say next, hanging on every word. It isn't a very interesting thing. It's just a list, and it's a list of strange names. You know, a wise teaching professor once told me, when you're preaching from a biblical text, always avoid the lists because they're killers. And here it seems like Paul is taking the roll call, which is a pretty strange thing in and of itself. I have never worshipped in a church where someone got up and had roll call. Now, sometimes calling the roll isn't all that bad. If you're supposed to be somewhere, at least if there is a roll call, someone knows that you are where you're supposed to be. And you might be able to get interested in Paul's roll call, even for curiosity's sake. You know, you might think, I wonder how Paul could remember all those people, since really he had never been to that church, you know. Well, I could kind of get interested in the roll call because it gives a profile of the people who are members of the church, and that's really interesting to me. Now, I don't expect you to remember this, but in the list, there's a husband and wife, Aquila and Priscilla. There's a man named Rufus and his mother. There's a brother, Nereus, and sister. There are brothers, Andronicus and Junius. There are sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa. There's an old man, Epaenetus. It's a little more interesting when you know a little bit more about their names, like Ferris perhaps needing a kidney transplant, you know, when all he wanted was a day off. That was a little bit more interesting, you know. There's a single woman named Mary, and there's a single man named Herodian. No big families are listed, except that they were all part of a family that Christ had knit together. It's an interesting list, I guess, sort of. Well, no, not very interesting, quite honestly. But here's the deal, and here's why I want to bring it up. For Paul, it was not just a list. You see, Paul is packing up his things in the home of Gaius, who houses the church in Corinth, and who is now currently housing him. And Paul is getting ready to go west to Italy and to Spain, and he's about to move away. Now, he's about 59 or 60 years old by this time, but he's pretty sure he has one more mission trip left in him. He doesn't have much to pack. He has a coat. He has books. He has a few other things. And while he is downsizing, he comes across some notes and some correspondence, and he sits down among the boxes, and he begins to remember people that he has known. Haven't you done that yourself? Been cleaning something out, and you come across some stuff that reminds you of people that you have known. You know, just yesterday, it was Friday, I was reminiscing at the kitchen table about two of my very first shut-ins. Now, one was named Harriet Schoenfelter. Harriet had an old friend who the pastors before had never been brave enough to visit because she was extremely cranky. So I went knocking on her door. And her name was Loretta Murphy. If you know anything about Minersville at all, anything about the school system, you will recognize those names, Harriet Schoenfelter and Loretta Murphy. Loretta's husband was he was the superintendent of schools in Minersville, and he actually ended up being quite famous nationally, but Loretta was the English teacher, and Harriet taught penmanship. And the reason that I was reminiscing about Harriet was because I ran into somebody who was elderly already and said that the reason they can write so beautifully still is because of Harriet Schoenfelter. But they were not only my very first two shut-ins, both of them became my very best friends. Both of them had been school teachers, like I said, and when I would visit them, I would always learn something. Loretta Murphy was the first one who read Chaucer's Tales to me. There were just a lot of things I would learn. They just had teaching in their blood. They were old-fashioned teachers back in the day when teaching was a gift that the Lord gave. I would learn something new every time. What Paul wrote in Romans 16, you see, was not a list. He was reminiscing. He was remembering people who were special to him. And we can almost hear him reminiscing. Oh, Aquila and Priscilla, they risked their necks for me. Adronicus and Junius, you know, we were in jail together. Boy, there's some godly men for you. There's Mary. You know, Mary worked hard. She was there when everybody else quit and went home. Aponatus was the first person converted under my preaching. Boy, I didn't sleep a wink that night, just saying, thank you, God, somebody finally was converted under my ministry. There was Typhenia and Typhosa, the twins. They always sat on the right, and they both were blue, and I never could tell them apart. Tell Rufus hello, he said. Tell his mother hello, because she was like a mother to me, too. You know, in fact, these names in Romans 16, they are so special to Paul, because even on the surface, we see him saying hello. What he is really saying to them is goodbye. You see, he is going to Rome. Then he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's taking an offering to Jerusalem. So at the end of chapter 15, what we didn't read was he was saying to the people, pray with me. Agonize with me that I won't be killed in Jerusalem, because that was a possibility. Pray that the saints will accept our offering in Jerusalem. And pray that I'll be able to come back and see you again. These are not just names. You know, our church family is a fellowship of names. You know, years ago, it was the custom of churches to have believer baptisms once or twice a year at a picnic, much like this one. It was a time when the newly baptized were received as official members of the church. Now, I understand that the tradition of the day was, after they were immersed, the candidates would come up out of the water, and that they would change their clothes in little booths that would have been made by hanging blankets from the trees. There was always a bonfire blazing, and the newly baptized, new members of the congregation, they would gather around the fire. And the pastor then would change clothes and come and join the gathering. There would be some singing while some others cooked supper. And later, while everyone was around the fire, usually the elder the head elder would introduce the new people. It wasn't that nobody knew them. Everybody knew them anyway, but he would introduce them formally because they were formally being induced into the family. The elder would announce their names, where they lived, and where they worked. And the rest of the church family would form a circle around that fire and around the new members while they stayed warm at the fire, and then it would begin. An older member would start and say, "My name is, and if you ever need someone to help you with your housework, you need to call me." And then the next person would say, "My name is, and if you ever need anybody to chop wood, you can call on me." And the next one would say, "My name is, and if you ever need anybody to babysit, you call on me." And the next one would say, "And my name is, and if you ever need a repair to your house, you call on me." The next would say, "My name is, and if you ever need anybody to sit with the sick, you call on me. My name is, and if your car breaks down, you call on me." And around the circle it would go. And then everyone ate supper. And finally, at the appointed time, that same elder would stand up and he would say, "It's time to go." And everybody would leave. There is a name for that kind of experience. And the name of that experience is church. Now, all of you have a small yellow paper, and on it is written these words: "I thank my God every time I remember you," from Philippians 1:3. Alan, where'd you go?
Right here.
Oh, would you see to it that everybody has a pen? Now, what I want you to do with that piece of paper is to write down a name. And another name, and another name. Raise your hand if you need a pen. And I want you to make a list much in the same way that Paul was making a list. It doesn't have to be a long list. It can have one name on it, or it can have 10. Back in the back, Jeanette and Wade. So just write a name, like Paul was remembering names. Like I would write Harriet Schoenfelter and Loretta Murphy and oh, so many more. I've buried a lot of friends. Now I want you to keep that list. I want you to fold it up after you're done. It's a list only for your eyes. I want you to keep that list because to you, that is not just a list. In fact, if you move away, I want you to take that list with you. I want you to hold on to that list, even if you have to keep it in the glove compartment of your car. Don't get rid of that list. I'd like for you to keep that list forever. And you might even add names to it. And I know what's going to happen. When you get to the gate, St. Peter's going to look at you and say, "Now look, you went into this world with nothing. You're going to come out of it with nothing. What do you have in your hand?" And you'll say, "Well, it's just a list of some names." And he'll say, "Let me see it." And you'll say, "Well, it's just a list of names of folks I worked with and folks I worshipped with and people who helped me throughout my life." And he's going to say, "Well, let me see it." "Well, it's just a group of people that if it wasn't for them, I never would have made it." "Well, I want to see it," he'll say. And finally, you'd give it to him. And he'll smile. And he'll say, "You know, I know all of them. In fact, on the way here to greet you, I passed most of these people. And they were painting a great big sign. And it was for you. And it said, "Welcome home." Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, only you know the names on this list that to us is so much more than a list. Help us to remember with thanksgiving these people who have helped us along the way. And help us to be on other people's lists. Because we aren't just a church. We are a family. You have said so. You have knitted us together. We are connected. And we want to thank you for that. Amen.